It's down at the back of the room.
It's a fascinating evening, I might say. Anyway, some years ago, the Persian playwright, Ronald Duncan, who actually wrote a play about Abelard Emmys, and the then amateur scientist, Miranda Weston Smith, edited and brought out a two-volume paperback entitled The Encyclopedia of the Unknown. Scientists were asked what they would most like to learn about possible science in the future. And I wonder, you know, if our authors tonight would like to ask or give an answer to the question, what would they most like to find out now about science? Something that's not known at present. And would they write their next book about it?
So, who'd like to kick us off on this one? You know,
what? I'd like to know what the 98% of the universe that's invisible is. I'm sure the Rich would like to know as well.
I'd like to know how life really did evolve on Earth at the very beginning of the origin of life. I would like to see it constrained experimentally to have some kind of crystal idea of this is really how it happened.
I'm looking forward to having my understanding of the universe shattered by the results of the LHC, the Light Hadron Collider. Hopefully I won't have to wait.
It's worth saying that one of the big questions at the moment is the origin of mass in the universe. What gives things mass? And that is a question we will have an answer to within the next 5 or 6 years, and it's a door that's blocking our understanding of the forces of nature, or three of the four forces of nature.
Yeah, I saw something really stunning at Durham University, where they've run a program and they simulate, well, it's the end of our universe, but it is really the end of our universe, and it's just extraordinary and awe-inspiring to sit there and look at it, and it's not a reconstruction. It's built on scientific facts.
The most amazing things about the science of cosmology and our understanding of stars and the end states of stars is that we can contemplate numbers, years, like numbers like 10^100 years, which is the time that many people give for the time it takes all the black holes in the universe to evaporate. And 10^100 is, think about that, the universe is 10^10 years old at the moment, roughly. 10^100 minus 10^10 is 10^100. Right, we've not made an impact on this possible history of the universe. So I find it remarkable that we can contemplate numbers like, that's Carlos Frank's group at Durham, isn't it? It's talking about trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of years in an intelligible way, right, using science to do it.
See, it's even more remarkable than that, because actually the origin of all the structure in the universe came about through, we think, through what happened in the first 10^-35 seconds. So the stretch is from the very, very smallest times to the very
No, it is absolutely, and it is one of those things, is that the more you think about it, the more completely mind-boggling it all becomes. Do we have any more questions?
Thank you very much. Good evening. I'm always curious as to whether authors have great angst over the titles of books, as to whether it causes problems between themselves and publishers. Okay. So, for each one.
The answer for me is yes. I think that this is my second book, and the struggles with the publisher for the title have been as much angst as I ever want to go through. Each of us has different ideas of what we want to convey with the title. And I have I won't call it the misfortune, because I'm happy with my title, but it was a great struggle with the publisher and the editor to reach that compromise. And it was the same in my earlier book as well. So ultimately it's the right of the author to choose the title. And occasionally you just have to exercise that right and